is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Big final night at the Democratic Convention.
Every day in the courtroom, I stood proudly before a judge and I said five words. Kamala Harris. For the people.
Making history last night with that speech and accepting the nomination, saying trade chaos for common sense. Don't let Donald Trump take you back.
CBS News Special Report. Kamala Harris wrapped up the Democratic National Convention by becoming the first woman of color to accept a major party's nomination for president.
To the delegates and everyone who has put your faith in our campaign, your support is humbling.
Democratic strategist Joel Payne, a CBS News political contributor, says Harris has accomplished a lot in the past month.
She shifted this race from a conversation with two octogenarians, near octogenarians, talking about the past. Talking about the future.
Breaking news now. A source familiar with the matter tells CBS News the Secret Service has placed multiple agents on leave, including the head of the agency's Pittsburgh field office, over results of its investigation into the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. He will be in battleground Arizona today, where he could receive an endorsement from the independent candidate, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Well, Vice President Harris's she pledged support for Israel during her speech last night at the DNC. Let's connect live with our Craig Figner right now, who talked to superdelegate and LA City Councilmember Bob Blumenfield.
Yeah, just talked with him as he's getting ready to board a plane and head back to Los Angeles. The vice president said that the administration that she would run would always stand for Israel.
I mean, I thought she walked the line appropriately. She reaffirmed her steadfast support for Israel and the right for Israel to defend itself. She made that very clear. She, of course, noted the humanitarian suffering, which everyone notes. And she basically, and she said, the time is to bring the hostages back and have a ceasefire, which is what everyone is saying, is including the Israeli government.
Los Angeles Councilmember Bob Blumenfield, and he also told me that the 4 days, he says, for him were very productive. He feels the convention was very well organized, but I have to note this, Margaret and Mike, there was a bit of a distraction because many people were expecting some sort of a celebrity performance, talk of Beyonce and or Taylor Swift. He says it was a distraction. He says he saw a lot of celebrities there, one of them Dave Chappelle. I thought that was interesting. I did pose a question here to Giovanni Chavez. He's the president of the California Young Democrats of Santa Ana. He was one of the people who kind of thought maybe there'd be a celebrity performance.
Honestly, I'm not too sure who exactly that came from, but I definitely heard rumblings of it.
Well, let me ask you, did you care? Like, were you disappointed that there wasn't a big, star music performance?
The Pink performance I thought was a pretty big performance. It would have been awesome to see Beyonce.
Yeah, it would always be awesome to see Beyonce. But Pink was very good. It was Blumenfield who said, hey, I can see Beyonce in concert. The convention was what I was there for.
With inflation more controlled and the job market cooling, the Federal Reserve is prepared to start cutting its key interest rate from its current 23-year high. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell made the announcement this morning, but didn't say when rate cuts would begin or how large they might be. The Fed is widely expected to announce a modest quarter-point cut in its benchmark rate when it meets in mid-September. Powell's comments came in his keynote speech at the Fed's annual economic conference in Wyoming.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
First you say comma like a comma in a sentence.
Then you say la like la 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 la.
Everybody over here say la.
Together. Kamala Harris's nieces last night, a little course for people on a certain cable channel on pronunciation. They said last night at the DNC, 4 days of stories about who Kamala Harris is, what kind of president she'd be. Political reporter Doug Sovereign was there when the balloons came down. This guy didn't sleep at all during the Republican convention, probably didn't this time either. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Yeah, I got about 4 hours a night here. I think I got 5 hours a night in the Republican.
Oh, so, see? Yeah, you're doing good.
You're doing real good, Doug. Wish I could have seen you there. It's Margaret. Let's talk a little bit about the optics here, right? There was a lot of red, white, and blue at the DNC. They had the American flags behind Harris on stage. They were waving in the crowd, chants of USA, USA. Very much feeling like the Democrats making a point here to reclaim patriotism, like it's not just for Republicans, right?
Absolutely. And hi, Margaret. And I wish I could see you too. They've been doing that all along, and it's clear that's their play is, you know, family, patriotism, USA, bring them home for the hostages. They're trying to reclaim all of that and say, you know, those are not just Republican values. And in fact, those are not Republican values when Donald Trump is your nominee. Those are our values. Come on over to our side. That's kind of the message they've been sending with a bigger tent, a more inclusive one. The story she told last night I thought was so well written and presented. That was the 27th draft of her speech, so they obviously finally tuned it. Starting with her family, that frankly a lot of Americans can relate to, a family with a divorce and a working mom and, you know, adopted neighbors who become part of your family and children of immigrants. I mean, that's a story, that's the American story, right? So that's, they're trying to show that this is the real America, not Donald Trump's America.
Joy, the word joy was in each speech like three times. At the risk of being the Debbie Downer, does the crowd there know how to turn all that joy into votes? Because they've got, what, 72 days?
I mean, they think they do. Let's see, what did it say Friday? I guess that makes it 74 days, but who's counting?
Who's counting?
They came out, they're very pointedly throughout the week, whether from the stage or in the delegate meetings. It was enthusiasm, energy, and get out the vote, work the phones, go door to door, the ground game. I mean, I saw Nancy Pelosi every day this week, and every appearance she was, you know, reminding them of all the nitty gritty details they've got to do to actually win, because nobody thinks this is going to be a landslide or a cakewalk. This afternoon, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will drop out. Whether more than half of his voters go to Trump, we'll see, even with his endorsement of Trump, probably. That could shave a percent or two in the polls. I mean, that's the kind of margins we're talking about here. So even though right now there's all this enthusiasm and the polling is doing well for Harris, everybody knows it all comes down to getting out the vote and getting low propensity voters to go out and vote. And that's what this is all about, is motivating those young voters, the women voters, and getting whatever margin they can in those swing states.
You've had the front row seat to a lot of her career. And I mean, we used to pal around in Sacramento and San Francisco. What has it been like to watch her get here? Or was there always this sense that, like, this was in the works? There was a plan for her?
Not to me. I know other people who feel that way. I've known Kamala more than 20 years, and I went to a party the other night with a lot of old guard San Francisco Pauls and media. It was great to see a lot of old friends. There are a lot of people there who worked for her when she was DA and worked for Gavin Newsom when he was mayor. And people are sort of her old staffers. It's all surreal to them. They're still pinching themselves saying, wait, she's going to be president of the United States? How can this even be? I mean, it's not, you know, Willie Brown always saw bright things in her future. Other people did, but no, I never looked at Kamala when she was DA and running for DA and thought, oh yeah, she'll be president someday. I mean, there are people you say that about, people you think, this person. I met Joe Biden when he was a freshman senator and I was in college, and I thought, this guy is playing a very long game and is going to run for president, and I would not be surprised if he's president someday. I never had that thought about Kamala Harris, ever. And now here she is on the precipice.
Hey, you have quite the campaign button collection. I was just looking. It dates back to 1986. Or wait, 18? Did you say 1896? Oh, my gosh, 1896. What are the favorite ones that you picked up this time around?
Somebody's looking at my tweets.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I have a William McKinley from 1896. That's my oldest button. That's also the first election I covered. No, not really.
But I'm pumped.
Favorite ones this time, by far my favorite one. Favorite ones this time are the childless cat lady ones. There's some very funny, and you know, I'll just, to be clear, I got a lot of great Trump buttons at the last convention. I collect them from everywhere. But they have some very funny childless cat ladies for Kamala. This childless cat lady is voting for Kamala.
Nice.
With pictures of cats on them. They're pretty clever. There are always some pretty clever ones. There's one that's, people who don't wear red hats for Kamala. There's quite a few.
All right, Doug Sovereign there in Chicago. Hey, thanks. We'll talk again. Taking longer for people in Long Beach to get the police to respond to their calls. We'll tell you more about that. San Clemente getting on the list of cities going after the homeless encampments, getting tougher on that as our 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Yeah, we are going to talk about the San Clemente homeless. San Clemente, the latest city to crack down on homeless encampments. The city council has approved an update to the city's anti-camping law that prevents people from sleeping on public streets and parks. It's one of the first cities in Orange County to roll out the change after the Supreme Court's ruling calls from Governor Newsom to start cracking down on homeless encampments. Other cities in the county are also taking steps to clean up encampments, including Aliso Viejo and Garden Grove.
Long Beach now, if you call the cops, you need help from the cops now. That's why you're calling, right? But it's going to take them longer to get to you now, longer than it did just a few years ago. John Baird has got more on this. John?
For the highest priority call, possibly a life-threatening situation, it takes Long Beach officers on average 5 minutes and 48 seconds to arrive on the scene. But that's a minute and a half longer than it took officers, 3 years ago? And the Long Beach Post found that for their Tier 2 and Tier 3 calls, non-emergency calls, it's taking up to an hour for an officer to arrive. That's a whopping 20 minutes more than 3 years ago. Meantime, the number of vacancies on the police force has spiked to 155 open officer positions. That's triple from a few years ago. Do they have any idea why?
Yes, quite simply, we don't have enough people who want to be police officers.
Long Beach City Councilman Daryl Supernaw tells me this morning they're offering incentives to lure officers and prospective officers to the Long Beach Police Department.
Is in the neighborhood of $54,000 for a new officer and up to $78,000 for what they call police lateral.
It's when an officer moves over from a different law enforcement agencies. There is a similar situation in Los Angeles where the police department has been chronically understaffed for years, and the response time for non-emergency calls can also take up to an hour and so. But Mike and Margaret, this is the situation, the hiring situation, of course, faced by many police agencies here in California.
All right, John, thank you. So more now on the story we've been following for you out of Rancho Palos Verdes, where many people have their homes damaged due to the ongoing land movement. They lost their gas, could lose their electricity. Now over a dozen homeowners have sued Rancho Palos Verdes and Rolling Hills for failing to stop damage that was caused to their homes by those landslides. 16 people filed a lawsuit yesterday in L.A. County. They accused the two cities, L.A. County, Cal Water, and other agencies of failing to fix sewers and water mains, which accelerated the movement of land under their houses. The homeowners live within the Sea View or Beach Club neighborhoods. According to the complaint, plaintiffs believe the defendants failed to fix well-known problems that led water from several sources to accumulate, oversaturate, and accelerate the landslides. They're asking for money for the cost of repairs, devalued property, relocation costs, and attorney appraisal and engineering fees.
Number of illegal fireworks citations issued in Riverside County jumping 20% over the 4th of July compared to last year. Sheriff's Department arresting 10 people. They took in, confiscated about 400 pounds of fireworks. County Fire Chief says they like this "If You Light It, We'll Ride It" campaign. It's working to reduce the risk of fires and injuries this year. Fines for having the fireworks, transporting them, setting them off can be anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000.
In many ways, Donald Trump is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious.
A historic speech last night by Vice President Kamala Harris as she accepted the Democratic nomination for president. She talked about her life, her career, and her plans for the country while being very critical of former President Donald Trump. Robert Roland is a professor of the University of Kansas, where he teaches rhetoric and argumentation. We talked to him about the speech.
We had a couple analysts on last night right after the speech, a GOP and a Democrat, and they both kind of agreed on short and sweet. Is that where you're at?
I thought it was a very effective acceptance speech, one of the most effective in recent history.
What did you like about it? What was so good? She kind of has, and people have noted this, a swagger now that she didn't have, honestly, back when she was in the primary in 2020.
That's totally right. I think she's much more comfortable running as a moderate liberal than trying to be much more liberal as she was in 2020. She had hit themes about how we are all Americans. She talked about our shared identity, that we're all patriots. The seizing patriotism is a theme. We can do better. She certainly says Trump's policies are dangerous, but it wasn't the focus on democracy that it was for Biden. And then that it's time to turn the page, that it's a generational, it's time for a new leadership. She reminded me of, I think she was trying to sound like a liberal version of Ronald Reagan, and I think she did pretty well.
You know, you mentioned the word policy. There's a criticism going around that she was kind of light on specifics, but maybe that's something that's more for debates or the eventual interviews, and this was just, you know, the story.
I think that's right. You know, she doesn't give us many specifics, but you don't normally get them in announcement speeches. And it's a little rich for Donald Trump's minions to talk about not being specific on policy, since he never talks in any detail about policy.
Are we in a vacuum from both sides? I mean, or is that just what happens? Because people say, oh, policy is kind of boring.
Well, they do. I think we will have more specifics in the debate. I'm sure she will focus on specifics. I'm less convinced that Donald Trump will. He likes to focus on insults, etc.
There was a through line, too, between a little bit in this speech, but a lot when Barack Obama was up there and Bill Clinton as well, and some of the others, even Hillary to an extent. You got to meet people where they are. No more of the, you know, deplorables kind of commentary, us versus them. You just got to talk to people, because do the Democrats realize that's a blind spot, and they need to realize that there are people out there who aren't feeling the joy and don't think exactly as they do, and they got to get out there and just level set instead of being like, what's wrong with you people?
I think that's exactly right. I thought Barack Obama's speech was about this election, but about how we heal the nation going forward as well. And the way that many Democrats reached out to people who don't often support Democrats, the inclusion of Republicans in the convention, et cetera, they're clearly trying to tamp down the anger that's out there and appeal to a broader audience.
One more thing, and then we'll let you go, because I mentioned this in the setup a few minutes ago. How much longer for this honeymoon period before it's over? And they've all said, you know, you can get close to the campaign. Some of the sources are saying, we realize that this is not something that's going to last forever. It's going to get rough.
It's a real question, because the first month has gone so incredibly great. Even Barack Obama finally ended the honeymoon period. If Barack Obama faced the end of a honeymoon period, you'd think Harris is going to. But so far, it's been really, you know, very, very effective.
That is University of Kansas professor Robert Roland.